No. You're right. Good morning. Should we get started? Welcome to First Christian Church, October 4th, second service. I'll start with announcements. We have a guest speaker today. His name is Dave Mondel. He is the staff chaplain at the Wyoming Medical Center. He was an on-call volunteer chaplain there for nearly 18 years. He has a bachelor's degree from Platte Valley Bible College, now Summit Christian College. He previously ministered at Richard Street Christian Church and worked in ground maintenance at Casper College, and he has been a volunteer chaplain with the Casper Fire Department since 1990. That's a long service. Thank you. Dave is married. Is it Joyce? Joyce is with us today, and they have three children, and he's a musician. He plays multiple instruments, including the guitar, the piano, harmonica, banjo, and mandolin. Very gifted, it sounds like. Welcome, Chaplain Dave. Also, we're still doing or re-upped doing the sandwich ministry. We could use help making sandwiches and putting lunches together. We make sandwiches on Friday afternoon at 3:15. I think this week we made 70. The numbers are kind of down. I don't know if Debbie knows why or not, but we're down to 70 for now. We'll see what happens to those numbers. Hopefully they'll come back up. And then they sack the lunches on Saturday morning at 8:15. And they're distributed in the breezeway at First United Methodist Church at 10. If you can volunteer to make sandwiches, put lunches together, or help distribute them, contact Debbie Mestis. And Keith helps also. Okay, we're still looking for volunteers for special music during the second service, if anybody is interested. I think there's a sign-up sheet, or talk to Lonnie McBee. Dr. Yost is still on vacation. She'll be back in the office on Wednesday. But if you do have an emergency, contact Cindy Huckfelt, the chair of elders, or Dennis Baker, the vice chair of elders, or call the church office. And Dr. Yost's Sunday school class will start next Sunday at 9 a.m. Also next Sunday, October 11th, is the kickoff for the 2021 stewardship campaign. You should be receiving a letter in the mail this week with a pledge card. We hope everyone will continue to be generous in their giving. We're also having a Zoom all-church retreat, which is scheduled for October 23rd and 24th, Friday night and Saturday, all day, I believe. The topic is prayer and discernment. The program will include types of prayer, seasons of prayer, and Bible study centering on Jesus in prayer. The cost is $10 and registration is required. Please register by contacting the church office no later than October 15th. Payment is due at the time of registration. In order to attend the retreat, you must have access to a computer or tablet with video and audio capabilities. If you have any questions, contact Karen Yost. Reconciliation offering will be collected today and next Sunday. Please put your envelope in the nets when offering is collected. I had one other. Are we doing announcements? Okay, Circle of Caring meets the first Monday of the month. That's for caretakers of loved ones. And that will meet tomorrow from 2 to 3. But it's every first Monday of the month. Are there any other announcements? Bill?
We're still getting videos, and we're still trying to collect videos. And we'd like videos of everyone here and everyone who's at home that's just listening to me now. But we'll put them up on the church website so we can all see each other. Because we miss each other, and we miss seeing each other with this limited service. So please take a short video and send it to the church office. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, I guess that's it for announcements. We'll listen to our prelude from Arlen.
Call to worship this morning is taken from Luke 4, beginning with verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, of recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you'll quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the skies were shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this, and they got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Father, we thank you for your word, for the word given through your prophets, recorded and written on scrolls, but also your word made flesh, who came and dwelt for a time among us. We celebrate him as we remember his grace and truth. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Please join me in the call to worship. Today we gather around God's table from near and far.
We are the people of God.
Though we differ in language, custom, and tradition, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. For there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We are one together to remember our Lord Jesus. He gave himself up for us so we could be reconciled to God. We come to worship the God of our salvation. Now we will sing our opening hymn, "The Church is One Foundation," all verses. O Redeemer of God, as we gather in worship on this World Communion Sunday, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us. We pray for your Spirit to awaken new hope in us. Grant us the vision to see the coming of your kingdom. Help us to celebrate the glimpses of grace that you have given to each of us. Knit our hearts together in worship and communion so that we know we do not struggle alone in working for your peace and justice. Stir our hearts and minds to learn anew your will for our lives during this time of worship as we offer you our praise, saying the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Are there any prayers of joys or concerns? Cindy.
Just, I know it's on everybody, in everybody's mind, but we've had an explosion of COVID cases, not only statewide, but in Casper, and we just need to keep, as vigilant as we can and pray for God's healing in the midst of all of this.
Absolutely. Anybody else? Let's see. I guess they're the, okay. I'll go ahead and read the list. Barbara Allen, Dave Baker, Dan Brown, Cal Decker, Mary Decker, Monica Decker, Jean Buck, Roger Cook, Jim Doyle, Raylan Heck, Frankie, Don Sin, Chuck Stewart, Ed Struby, Lonnie McBee, Mike Ward, Mary Oliver, Brittany Bartz, Peg Jackson, Kathy Morrison, Debbie Mosteller, Mitch Murray, which is Tammy Heck's father, Rich Umbach, Patricia Schumate, that's our bookkeeper, Lisa's mom, and Fred Osborne. Also, remember our first responders, hospital staff, which Dave is included. Yes, Cindy?
I just want to celebrate Cal Decker was feeling well enough that he was here yesterday morning vacuuming the church.
Oh.
And it was his birthday, and he said his best birthday present was feeling well enough to come and do that service for our church.
Awesome. Okay, let's see. Healthcare workers, teachers, students, athletes returning to regular school. Hopefully it's regular. I don't know if you could call it regular, but. also those attending virtual school from home and all others on the line helping others during this COVID pandemic. All FCC church members dealing with private issues and health concerns not shared. Firefighters on the lines fighting the forest fires around the country, especially the Mullen Fire in southern Wyoming. I think we also need to pray for President Trump and the First Lady who have contracted COVID, our nation, and obviously the world in dealing with COVID virus. Dennis. Ooh.
Which nobody knows really what that is. She doesn't know what it is, but it's a follow-up appointment. So
that does not sound good.
Seems to be doing better, but that would be helpful.
Yes, absolutely. Anybody else? Okay, let us pray. Compassionate God, give your strength and healing to all those who are sad, lonely, or sick. Bless those who try and help them. Let us pray for God's people throughout the world. Let us pray for the spoken and unspoken requests of our people. Amen. Lord, on this World Communion Sunday, help us examine our hearts so that we may pay proper respect to Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for offering reconciliation to all of humankind and forgiveness of sins through Christ, our High Priest. Almighty and ever-present God, we confess our sins to you. We are truly sorry for our wrongdoings and shortcomings, for sins of commission and sins of omission. Forgive us, we pray in Christ's name. Empower us to serve you fully, to share the resources we have with those who have less, to weep with those who weep, and to laugh with those who laugh. Help us to be good stewards over the earth you have placed in our care. Help us to unite in love and concern for one another, not just in our local community, but with brothers and sisters in all the world. As we draw near your holy table, we thank you, Lord, for providing the bread for us. As we partake, impart on us your grace and mercy. Unite us with Christ, our Lord, and with one another. May your kingdom be established in all earth. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat this. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remissions of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." There you are. This is the...
Are we doing the hymn?
Oh, did I forget? I'm sorry. Okay, we'll sing our hymn of communion. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. One bread, one body.
Thank you.
think I'll try again. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lead us not into temptation, but toward your will. Lead us not into temptation, but to the sharing of our gifts. Lead us not into temptation, but to love through actions and through how we spend our money and talents. We will now take up our morning offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we promise to use these gifts for good. We promise to use these gifts in furthering God's realm. We commit to using these gifts in love and mercy for others. Amen.
According to the church bulletin, I'm supposed to read the scripture, and I've already read my text. So I'm going to read a bit of scripture before we return to the text. Let's look in Luke chapter 19. It's one of my favorite passages. You'll know why. Jesus entered Jericho, and passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Luke 19:3 says he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short and could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, you come down immediately, for I must stay at your house today." So he came down and at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham." In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Our sermon today, the title is, "What to Do When You Go to Church." When I was asked to come and preach, I thought immediately of one of my favorite sermons, and I was going to do it. It's called The Ladder of Virtue, taken from 2 Peter, the first chapter. "And add to into your goodness, add knowledge, and to your knowledge, perseverance, self-control, and to self-control, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness." And I would do each of those points, and then climb the ladder, and then jump off that rung, and go to the next point and climb up the ladder and jump off. And I thought, oh, that's a great sermon. And then I remember the last time I preached it. It was up in my home church in Gillette. And I started the sermon. And by the time I got to the second rung, they sent somebody out of the congregation to hold the ladder. So I said, no, we're not going to do that one. And I thought, well, it's World Communion Sunday. I will just do a great teaching on what communion is and how we ought to do communion, everything about it. Then I thought, no, I won't be far enough away from home. You have to travel at least 75 miles away from home to be an expert on anything. And I thought back at the first time when I was preaching, and we had a revival, and I had this guy up from Oklahoma, and he, after the his message that night, he and I and a couple other people went into my study, and they asked him a question, and he opened God's word and explained everything to them, and they were so convicted, and it was fantastic. Oh, man, oh, that was great. Oh, fantastic. And then when they left, he turned and said, "So how long ago was it that you had read those scriptures to him?" And I go, "Last week." So I don't have that gravitas. I just live up the street here, so I have to be careful about what we're going to do. But I did think about one of those communion things that went on. I read a great book years ago. It was called Spilt Grape Juice. And it's about moments like we had just today in our worship service. We're going to sing all the verses, but the slide is stuck on verse 1. So what do you do with that? And I remember this young man. His name is Richard. That's all you get. And he was back at church, but primarily because he was back in town. And so he was there. I could tell that he was a little grumpy about stuff. And so as we're serving communion, it comes to him, and the nice big plate comes, and he grabs it, and he throws in a check. And then he looks at what he did, and he realizes, and he says something that I hope nobody else in church heard. And once you do something, oh, things can escalate. So I thought about that, but the one church service I really thought about was 43 years ago. I was an exchange student, had just got out of high school, and I was in Würzburg, Germany, and my mom, German mom, came up and said, "We're going to church this Sunday, and it's really special. We're going to have communion." And I go, this might be different. I better prepare myself because I'm used to the way that we did things in Gillette. This is the only church I really ever attended, so I don't have any other point of reference. So I need to be ready for this. It's going to be different. The priest will keep the stuff. It's going to be different. It's going to be all in one cup, and then he'll just wipe it, give it to us. It'll be different. It's going to be real wine, not Welch's grape juice. And I don't know whether it's really sanctified if it's not Welch's grape juice, but we're ready to go there. So I have all of these things going through. I'm 18 years old. I'm trying to be prepared. And so I go through there, and all the things I worried about, sure enough, they came true. I was prepared. I got up there and got lined up and everything else. And when he lowered the chalice, it was white wine. Oh, that's what I thought. I go, that does not look like blood. How can this, you know? And then you do some quick thinking. You know what? It's still a remembrance. I'm still remembering his sacrifice, all of these different things. And I survived it, as you can tell. It was a wonderful thing and a great thing for me to have happen because it was, you know, you get stretched a little bit sometimes. The next day, as my German family and I were talking things over about this, they said, you know, we're in Würzburg, and around Würzburg, there's all these vineyards and all the wine from that region is white wine. So of course, because it was not just communion with the body there, but communion with the community at large. And so it was a good way for me to be pushed a little bit. And wonderful things to have happen for us. So we're in Luke today at Jesus and his example, because I am supposed to follow his example, and so are you. What we do when we go to church, and Jesus, as he goes to the synagogue in Nazareth, he points the way for us. So he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Luke 4:16 tells us where he'd been brought up. And that, I just have to stop at that phrase every time I read through here. It answers so many questions. Those lost years of Jesus Christ. There's books written about them, studies done about them. Where did he do all this, all these different things? You can read all sorts of different books. But Luke tells us this is where he spent his lost years, right there in Nazareth, where he was brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And that's our first point. We're going to have 3 points, some B's. The first one is be here. No one was surprised when Jesus walked into the synagogue that day. It was his custom to be there and to sit and to stand and to participate as he went through this. No one was shocked when he was there. And if people are shocked when they see you at church, maybe we should change that a little bit. So, the first important thing is that he was there. Not surprised to see him, and they weren't surprised when he participated. He stood up to read. And sometimes we have that. I had a friend of mine, we used to work together at Casper College, and we were talking one time, and he goes, well, you know, you follow this illiterate, uninformed, itinerant preacher. And I go, illiterate? He says, yeah, he couldn't read or write. And I go, that's not accurate. I said, I don't argue with a bunch of stuff that you say, but I'll argue with this. You need to change your perception of Jesus Christ. Because he was probably fluent in, well, you know, he was the Word made flesh. Words were not a problem for him. I don't know when, because I know he learned, but I also know that he was the Word made flesh, and that reading here in Hebrew was no problem for him. It's a problem for me. I have a hard time reading Hebrew. Or if it was Greek, it would be no problem for him. Less of a problem for me, but I still have a hard time reading Greek. Well, I should back up. I don't have a hard time reading Hebrew. I just have no idea what I said. We have that. So he's that, because we have that, what somebody has called our timeline prejudice. When we think that the people 1,000 years ago weren't as smart as we are now. Or the people 2,000 years ago weren't as smart as we are now. Or the people 3,000 years ago, well, that could be Plato and Aristotle, so that we can give them a... So we need to watch those prejudice moments that we can have. So he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He stood up to read. He knew what he was going to read. The synagogue worship in that time, and even in our time now, was very liturgical. They had a set reading as you go through there. So when Jesus went to the synagogue that day, he knew that they would hand him a scroll from the book of Isaiah. But they did not know that he was going to read that particular passage, and they really did not know that when he got done reading it, he would say, "Today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing." But they reacted. Oh, they reacted so nicely. They spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. I've been through that. 30 years ago or so, I was preaching a sermon in Gillette, where I grew up. My first sermon up there, and I struggled through it. We got through, and it's probably a pretty poor sermon when you get down to the brass tacks as we get through there. But after the sermon, I'm there shaking all the people out of church, and everybody's saying great things. "Oh, that was so wonderful, magnificent. Oh, you know, what an orator. Oh, you'll be the next Billy Graham." All of these different things going through there. I was feeling pretty good. Then my friend Eric came up and said, don't get too puffy there, Dave. It's kind of like a dancing bear." I go, "Dancing bear, what do you mean?" He says, "Well, they're not praising you because you preach so well. They're praising you because you could even preach at all." And you know, that's the way it is sometimes. But the wonderful thing is that he participated. And even that, when Eric said that, was better than what my sister always tells me. Because she, you know, sisterly love. And she comes up and shakes my hand. She says, "Every sermon you preach is better than the next." We have to be, as we go through there, wonderful things that can happen when you open your mouth. So our first B is be here. The second B is be active. And the first service, we had Carol Sage right off over there. And I picked on her a little bit because Carol is one of our new volunteer chaplains at Wyoming Medical Center. She's been doing it for just a little over a year. And she took classes for the first time. They started in January, and she was doing all these different things. But Carol is a page lightning rod. We have a number of new chaplains that have carried the pager on a number of times who have never been paged into the hospital. One of them asked me, "Are you sure this thing works?" So the very first weekend that Carol was going carry it. She came in. She was supposed to turn it on at 5 o'clock, but she picked it up a little earlier. And I said, just turn it on now. Then if anything happens between now and 5 o'clock, I'll be here and we can go and talk to the folks together. And she said, oh, that's a great idea. And so she did. And about an hour later, well, she did not even get out of the hospital. And the pager went off and we went down to the ER and dealt with some folks there. And a couple of weeks ago, I was out of town and Carol was on the pager. By the time I got back into town and she gave me the pager back, when I got there, she goes, here, you can have this. Because she had dealt with 3 trauma red situations all in that Sunday. And so, but that's what she was doing. And that's what we each need to do. She found the place where she can work, where she participates, where she is part of the body of Christ and serving the body of Christ. And it's not onerous for her. She enjoys it. She does a good job. She looks forward to doing it. Thank you for mentioning Cal Decker. What a great mentioning of somebody who is here and serving and finding some place to do it, and that his best birthday present was feeling well enough that he could come and vacuum, and just finding that place to serve. Each of us needs to find that place where we can serve the body and that we can serve it, and it won't be onerous to you. You'll enjoy the service that you do as you go through there. That is a great thing about that. So, be here. Second one, be active. Find that place of service and do it. Here, as Jesus went there, it was customary for each male adult to do that reading and everything. We're not in that society. But we can each still find that area where we can serve and participate, take an active part in being part of the body of Christ. So, be active. And Jesus goes on and says, surely you'll quote this proverb to me, physician, heal thyself. And you'll tell me, do here in your hometown what we had heard you did in Capernaum. And then he goes on and he talks about Elijah. And Elijah serving the widow who is not in Israel. And Elisha. And Elisha serving and healing Naaman, the Syrian. And attitudes changed. He had to go past preaching and gone to meddling. And then they looked at him in a different way. No longer were they saying great things about him. Oh, isn't Joseph's son doing really well? Instead, they were furious. And they got up, drove him out of town. He took him to the brow of the hill where the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. Indeed, you can be there. Last week, I had a time with my friend Craig, and Craig has been to Nazareth, and you can see the cliff, the precipice where they're there. They have the synagogue, or what they think was the synagogue of Jesus' time, and you could be right there. You could stand exactly where Jesus stood and take that stand with him. It's funny that he sat down to take a stand. He read and everybody was, oh, yes, 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 yes. Then he sat down and explained things to them a little bit. And then things changed. We need to do that. Sometimes it's difficult for us to take that stand, to be different than everybody else. I have that every once in a while. I'll walk into a room and I'll have this, my little badge on here, and so if I can do this, I usually do have my wife help me with this, because there, I walk in, it says staff chaplain, I identify myself, hello, My name is Dave. I'm one of the chaplains around here. And their response is, oh, it's come to that. Last week I had somebody who just basically threw me out of the room. No, you get out of here. So that's pretty basically throwing me out of the room. It was bad enough that the security folks came by and checked in with me later and made sure I was okay. I had no idea what they were talking about initially because, of course, I'm okay. What are you doing? You know, well, they knew that the family was pretty upset. But, you know, the family had every single right to be upset. They might have handled it better and everything else as you went through there. But I'm not taking any great offense at that. I didn't then. I won't now, you know. If you have somebody in a car wreck and people are walking in, you might be a little snippy. I know I would be. We have those type of things, but you just have to take that. And sometimes I get thrown out of rooms without even knowing it. That's the bad part. Because God has given me, and my wife will nod her head about this, He has given me the gift of obliviosity. He has given it to many males. But sometimes I just don't read the situation. Years ago, when 2002, I was taking a clinical pastoral education class, and I was going from room to room in the hospital and checking with folks, and I walked into this room, and I go, hi, I'm Dave, and I'm taking this class, and I was wondering if there's any way I could help you, because I was nervous. And the guy says, well, not right now. I'm kind of busy right now, but if you could come back later. So I went back later because that's what he asked. And then I went back and he gave me another excuse. I'm really tired right now. And if you know, maybe next week if I'm still here, why don't you? Okay, I'll do that. So then we have our get together where all the guys taking the classes are there. And a friend of mine, he turns to me and says, I understand my client threw you out of his room twice. I said, no. And then he explained to me, yes, he did. I was just too bullheaded to know that to take the first no and be happy with it. So we have to be ready to take that stand, to walk into that room to address folks. And it can take a little different situations as you go through it. 30 years ago, my wife and I were down in Phoenix. We went to this church meeting down there. We were going to learn how to grow our church like nobody's business. And we went to this guy's church, and huge. And I'm sure they had some spilt grape juice moments in his church, because at Christmas time, they would bring in live camels and elephants into the sanctuary and they would gather all sorts of folks. And, it's just not my cup of tea. But as we're there, one of the ministries they have is a biker ministry. And so my wife went there and bought this T-shirt. It looks like a Harley Davidson shirt. But on it, it says, Jesus, David's son. And then it had a scripture and everything else. It's Jesus is the son of David. And it was really neat. It was a great looking shirt. And so we're heading home. We're wandering our way home. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I don't know why I say Nevada. I stopped the first service. Las Vegas. I almost said Nevada. And you go, what other Las Vegas? Well, it could be New Mexico. I know that. But when you say Las Vegas, people know where you are. We were there and we're in a gas station. And Joyce is in the back getting some stuff for our trip. And she's wearing that T-shirt, and this biker comes in. He was the quintessential biker. He is probably 320 pounds, leather vest, Harley Davidson shirt, everything else, chained wallet. He goes walking towards her, and and Joyce goes, How am I going to handle this? What? And finally, she remembered, you know, if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, then I will deny you before my Father in heaven. And Joyce, when she tells the story, she goes, if I die, I die. And so she opens up and walks up towards the guy, and the guy stops, looks her up and down. Cool shirt. Yeah. Sometimes you have to take that stand. We can't be like the young kid who got a job in a lumber camp, and his mother took him aside and said, okay, now you be careful around all these lumberjacks, because they might be a little rough and everything. You be careful. They might pick on you for being a Christian, so you be careful how you handle yourself all through the summer. So at the end of the summer, he comes back home getting ready to go to school. His mother says, so, how'd your summer go? Did they pick on you for being a Christian? He says, no, they never found out. We need to make sure that there will be no mistake. And I would have to tell you that when you wear one of these things, it does help you with your language. It helps you with your attitude. I tell my wife all the time, yeah, you know how hard it is to be nice to people for 8 hours straight? Oh. But we do that. We carry that as we carry the name of Christ with us. As we walk into those rooms, as we walk into everybody's lives around us, we need to be ready to take that stand as well. We need to be ready to be persecuted. It's one of those great promises that we leave out when we're sharing the promises of the Bible. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 12th verse says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Sometimes our persecution might be my gift of obliviosity. But a lot of times I think my persecution goes unnoticed. I don't get invited to certain places. People don't hang around with me. I don't have the same spheres of influence. And I don't care. I don't notice. I just live my life for Him. But each of us need to be that way. Not only just be here and being active, but be true. We need to be ready to be thrown out of a few hospital rooms. Be ready to have people sometimes even hate us. We find here that the people's reactions did change as Jesus shared with them. But His didn't. That's why we read from Luke 19. That last verse. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Matthew 20 puts it this way. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. We need to remember that we acknowledge Him. And He will acknowledge us. If we disown Him, well, that's a hard part. So let's not do that. I always look at that verse and say, what a great verse, what a positive verse, that as I acknowledge Him before others, and what it's easy for me to do it. Sometimes I work that, this is not in the sermon, this is completely different aside. One of my normal things that I have to do at the hospital is to do the call, talk to the people when they're put on comfort care. When imminent death is right there, that there's no longer any particular treatment or prognosis for improvement, and so you're just going to be made comfortable for the rest of your days. That can be a hard time. So that's one of the things that I always get notified about. So I go to the room each and every time. And that's not true. if they're still around. So I get there, and sometimes they're discharged and sometimes they're expired. But if they're there, I walk into the room and I just check with them. Hi, my name's Dave. I'm one of the chaplains here. I understand that you've had a hard diagnosis. Is there anything that I can do? And the guy recently said, well, I haven't gone to church my whole life. I'm not going to change now. So I said, I can really respect that. And then I just turned and walked out of the room. You know, some chaplains, that would be good chaplaincy in a lot of cases. But for me, I said, well, I understand that. But you know what I like even more than being consistent is the truth. I like to think that I'm a lover of the truth. Would you like to, you know, if it was a difference from what you, where you are and the truth, wouldn't you want to know? He didn't. He knew better. His grandson says, well, that's an interesting way to look at that. And so before I left the room, we shared a little bit of scripture and everything else. Being not pushy, but opening, easing that door open just a little bit. So the church folks there changed their perspective. They reacted positively and then negatively, but Jesus Christ didn't. He was consistent, did not waver from his time, what he knew he was about. And you know, that's what we need to do. We need to be here. We need to be active. And we need to be true. Would you please join with me in the throne room of God in prayer? Father God, I thank you. I thank you for Christ's ministry, both in Nazareth and in my heart. I thank you for his willingness to take a stand, to be active. His willingness ultimately to pay for those debts that I have earned. I thank you for his love, the love that led him to the cross, the love that led him to his incarnation. I think of him so often as the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. So often I think of him and how he loved and how he changed folks. And I ask that that would continue now, that we would be serving him and loving him as we depart from this place. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word and to share the love of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We will now sing our hymn of dedication, They'll Know We Are Christians, all verses.
my favorite benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.